With us from Eretz Yisrael, from Beit Shemesh, Miriam Levitin, who's a shadchan for 13 years in Beit Shemesh. She, can I know her as a mother, a grandmother? She went to BJJ either the same year as my wife or a year after or before. We can't track it down, but she's a talmidah of Rebbetzin David. Welcome, Mrs. Levitin.
Hi.
So my question is, what is it like to meet, you know, what is it like when a boy, a girl, you read a shidduch, how important is money? You know, how, you know, what are the demands? And just give us something from the front lines.
Okay, so in Eretz Yisrael in particular, money is a very important part. If a boy wants to be a long-term learner, then money is probably one of the main parts of the shidduch. Shidduchim don't even get to a first date if the money is not resolved in advance. The money is discussed in two parts in a shidduch in Eretz Yisrael. People first talk money for an apartment, and then money for the wedding and setup. It's two separate inyanim. So when people say, I'm giving 400,000 shekel, they mean for an apartment. That's the language. That is the minimal amount to even get onto, like, any list. The prices go up depending on the yeshiva. Prestigious yeshivas ask for more money. The price tags.
Okay, wait. Go so fast. Give me an example. Like, 400,000 would be for what type of yeshiva? Give me like some.
It'll be for the basic yeshivas, not brand name yeshivas. You know, the
okay.
Hamonam. A boy who's going to learn for a couple of years, who's not the Spitz, who's just a nice boy who's going to learn from a more, you know, Peshit family, is going to ask for that.
And what's a brand name yeshiva would be like what?
Would be Chevron, Tifrach, Panovich. Those are the three main names that people know. Wolfson is in there nowadays. And Kaplan, they call it, from Naftali Kaplan. And there's a few other, you know, Orchos Torah and B'nai Brak, Rav Steinman, Zitzal's yeshiva.
I'm curious, why isn't Brisk on this list?
Brisk is more of an American yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. That's how it's considered.
So let's play this out, Ms. Levitin. I'm a parent. I call up and I say, I have a daughter and I'm looking for a boy from a top yeshiva. Chevron, Tifrach, Panovich. Now, by the way, are they all the same? Is it pretty much, or are they ranking?
No. They may all be the same in price range, but they're very different kind of yeshivas.
So let's talk price range. So my daughter wants a boy from one of the top, and you say the top are Chevron, Tifrach, Panovich, Wolfson, Kaplan, and Rav Steinman. So those are basically equal in price, right?
Yeah, probably.
So mm-hmm. What do I have to give so that my daughter could go out with a boy from one of these places?
Well, somewhere between 800,000 and a million shekel.
And now if I say, but I can't afford that, let's say a million shekel is easy. It's around $350,000. Mm-hmm. Let's say I say,
right,
I just don't have $350,000. I mean, your average salary in Israel is probably, I don't know, what is your average salary, 30 or 40,000? So it would take me 10 years, assuming mm-hmm. I didn't spend anything on anybody else and I paid no taxes, to marry off my daughter. I don't have the million shekel,
right,
which I imagine most people don't. How do you respond to that?
I respond that there are many good boys and many yeshivas, and who said you need the top? Who said the top is even good for you?
When you say the top, you mean the top yeshiva or the top boys?
Yes and yes. The top boy in the top yeshiva, who said that's good for you? You need the right person. You don't, you know, people
so
are looking for the top
I'm
of people
sorry,
with money. Real people don't look for that.
But so I say, okay, so let's play this out. I'm going to be the father of the girl. And I say, my daughter is really wonderful, and she wants a boy who's going to be a mamish, a goyin, and a lamdin. But I only have, I don't know, $50,000. Which is, for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, savings of 10 years. What would you say?
I would say we got to be realistic about what's available out there. There's a lot of good girls, and there's a lot of good boys, but the top boys are going to be the ones that are bought for a lot of money. And then there's a lot of very good boys that may be matim, so maybe we should look for what makes sense for what you have to offer, because
so,
that's what shidduchim are based on, unfortunately.
So she won't get a top boy. She'll get a, if I have 50,000, she'll get a level of dollars, which is around 175,000 shekels. She'll end up with like a tier two boy.
Or a boy from a family that has no money and is not demanding because they have a lot of daughters to marry off and they're not being playing the game and how do you call that? Being double faced, you know, they're being real. You get those.
So she can't. So I'm saying. So if she, if
or
I have
an American boy, American boys who don't ask for it.
So if
you
I have 200,000
mm-hmm.
shekel, I could end up with a tier B boy, but I won't end up with a tier one boy. And
well, makes a boy tier one or tier two anyway. It's what's
I don't
right
know,
for the person, right? It's the game is a little not real to real life. You know, what I'm saying? We're talking about people
what,
here.
What
so.
Does make what does make a tier one boy? You know, you said for a tier
to
one
me?
Boy, I need him.
To me,
no,
me don't.
To the,
you know, or what's my team for your daughter? It doesn't necessarily mean the top yeshiva.
The boy who wants the million shekel. What is it? What are his qualifications that he can get a million shekel?
He's made a good name for himself. He's a masmid. He's smart. He probably comes from a great family. Probably has some yichus thrown in. And I would say he probably has a smidgen of gaiva thrown in there. And his parents have a smidgen of gaiva. And yeah, that's what I would say.
Now let's say, do most people encourage parents, look, you can only afford $50,000, which is a lot of money in Eretz Yisrael. It's a lot of money in America, too.
Mm-hmm.
$175,000. Let's say I don't have $50,000. Let's say I have, I don't know, I could pay for the wedding. I have $10,000 or
$20,000. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can I marry my daughter off? And what could she get?
Right. Look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mezaveg, and we all believe it. You're not going to go looking in the top brand name yeshivas for the top boy, because that's not realistic. But you can look
now,
for a very good boy in, you know, a not a brand name place.
Okay. Now, the who's driving this? Is it the parents of the boys? Is it the boys? Is it the Rosh Yeshivas? Who's behind
this? I believe
this?
It's the Rosh Yeshivas, because I have spoken to parents who don't believe in this, but my son says his Rosh Yeshiva said, and therefore we can't tell him all of a sudden to stop listening to his Rosh Yeshiva just because he got to Shidduchim. We've been telling him his whole life, you got to listen and get a Rebbe and follow your Rebbe, and now we're going to tell him you don't. So we need the money, and I get this on a daily basis.
So these are the Rosh Yeshivas of the Chevron, Tifrach, Panovich, Wolfson, Kaplan.
Right.
But you also have Rav Steinman. Now, I saw a Kol Kaira from Rav Steinman.
Mm-hmm.
Where he writes, it was plastered all over, that a Rebbe or Rosh Yeshiva, I forgot the exact word, I could look it up, we'll post it online. Who
I remember,
who
the man's
the
money
boys,
is going to go to Gehenna or something.
Yeah, so, but you have his boys in the yeshiva asking for that money too. Isn't
yeah,
that a,
definitely.
So what happened over there?
I don't know. I don't believe in Peshkevilim. They get printed a dime a dozen with anyone's name signed on it. I don't believe in those things.
Okay. Now, when you talk to the Rosh Yeshivas and you'll say something like, I have a friend, he's one of the most special Yungalite in Eretz Yisrael.
Mm-hmm.
He had to marry off his daughter. And he told me that he's physically sick. And his wife
mm-hmm.
told me he has ulcers, he doesn't sleep night from, and he doesn't,
mm-hmm.
he only has a few kids, to have to
mm-hmm.
pay for his daughter's dira.
Mm-hmm.
How do the boys and the girl and the parents and the Rosh Yeshivas who are demanding these things of the girls' families, how do they live with themselves? I mean, it seems
I would
to
love
go against,
to know the answer to that question, honestly.
Like it seems to go the hepach of the whole Torah. Like, the whole Torah is, you know, v'hafta l'recha kamoicha, madalach sani, l'chavruch le'savid.
I can't agree with you more.
So how do they let somebody, and this is a very
I'm going to tell you a first-hand story. Because this is so true what you're saying. I was at a chasna of a shidduch I made, and the father had a very hard time coming up with the money. And during the first dance, he collapsed on the dance floor. I was there. Hatzalah came. He had a heart attack. Okay? They whisked him away. Baruch Hashem, he survived. He's fine. It was, you know, he was a healthy person, and it was, you know, I guess a milder heart attack. He's in the hospital a few days. He came out. He's fine. But this is the middle of his daughter's chasna. And this is not, I happen to have witnessed this firsthand. You see this on the news on a regular basis. But I was there, and it was my shidduch. And I know what went into the negotiations. So I know why he had a heart attack.
What went into the negotiations?
He was promising amounts of money that he had no idea where he was getting them from, because he wanted to marry off his daughter to this good boy.
So I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a quote-unquote good boy, mm-hmm, who knows he's marrying a girl, and when he sits by the Shabbos table, he could look at his in-laws' faces and he know he basically almost killed them,
right,
isn't it an oxymoron to call that a good boy?
I think so.
Like, what kind of...
How do we change the system is the question.
I have a different question.
Mm-hmm.
My question is,
yeah,
what kind of godless could come out of cannibalism? I'm an Orthodox Mitzuyan,
right,
I'm a cannibal. Who did you eat? Oh, I ate up my in-laws, limb by limb. What kind,
yeah,
of godless attire could come from that?
The father-in-law wanted this.
I understand that.
He would have done it for any boy. So the boy's probably feeling, look, it wasn't me, would have done it for someone else. It wasn't really me.
But
he was doing it because he wanted to marry his daughter. You know, they can warp the whole picture for themselves, to live with themselves. They have to live with themselves. So.
And what have you asked to the Rosh Hashivas in Eretz Yisrael?
I once went to Rosh Hashiva and I said to him, why are you doing this? You know the parents aren't even demanding it. Why are you demanding it for them? And he said to me, I want this boy to stay in learning. And I said to him, is this the only way to keep a boy in learning? He says, if he doesn't have the dira and he has the chayvis on his head, he'll be running around to gemachim with chayvis. He has no way to learn. He has no yeshiva das. So, you know, I've never sat and learned Gemara. Baruch Hashem, don't plan to.
Do you need a million?
I don't know what it takes, you know. Apparently
million?
It takes yeshiva das, not chayvis on your head, so...
It's an interesting debate. In other words, I want to become a gadol, but I have to do it at the cost of my in-laws' health.
Mm-hmm. In-laws' health, and how about the wife's health? The wife is working like a dog, having the babies, running the home, doing everything. You know, the in-laws is the first step. The system is tough. It's tough, and I don't know the answers. As a shatran, in Eretz Yisrael, I do the financial negotiations before they go out, and I told the boy's father that the girl's side gives very nicely. He has nothing to worry about. It's going to be fine. He's married off three daughters. This is the fourth. He has nothing to worry about. They're all well settled. He helps them. He takes care of them, and he can afford to. And they went out three times. They're ready to get engaged. The fathers finally sat down to hash out the details. And I got a call after that from the boy's father basically telling me the shidduch is off. I was in shock. I'm like, what happened? He said, you think 600,000 shekel is a nice amount of money? I said, it's huge. He goes, I'm only giving 200. And apartments are 1,200,000. So we're missing another 400, and he's not willing to give it. So I'm not willing for my son to have a mashkanta. The shidduch is off. And the shidduch was promptly off, even though the kids are ready to get engaged. This is real. This is a first-hand story that I was involved in.
And who did the boy... But
that's
the
how
boy,
real it is. They're both
the
Baruch Hashem married to different
else?
People. Yes, yeah.
He found somebody who was willing to pay up.
Who was willing to pay up. And the girls, Baruch Hashem, happily married also.
Do you have girls or boys who can't get married and they just stay single because of money?
I have a 31-year-old bachur who is considered a mitzvian. And a masmid and bright and personable, who is refusing to get married until he gets the right package. And I finally said, you could have been married for 6 or 7 years already and had six, seven kids. Is this allowed?
It's not allowed. Halachically, it's not allowed. We'll put the Mara Mekaymus online.
And
but
his
answer
was,
that.
I got to be able to learn. I'm single, I'm sitting and learning. If I get married and have no money, I'll have to go to work. What am I going to do? His parents can't give a penny.
And what, just,
so
you have girls,
the full package.
But I think this is his choice. Do you have girls who can't get married because their parents can't write the checks?
Yes. Yes, there are definitely girls of 26, 27, 28 who are working hard and saving every penny to be able to finally say they have enough to get married. Yes, it does exist, and they're holding out for those really big masmidim. Yes, it does exist. I could think of probably a dozen of them. Mm-hmm.
How did the parents pay for it? Like, what is the average salary in Eretz Yisrael?
Look, a lot of these girls, their fathers have been avreichim for 30 years. They're making about 2,000 shekel a month, the fathers, and the mothers may be making, let's say, a really good salary, like 8,000 shekel a month. You know, they barely make it. People don't make it through the month, but they need to marry up their kids.
So let's say you have a family, they're making 1,000 shekel a month,
mm-hmm.
and let's say they decide they're going to eat nothing, and they're going to not spend any money on food, clothing. Let's say they're not going to pay any bills. So 10,000 into a million, right, means that it's going to take them 100 months of this, which is 9 years of eating nothing, just to marry off this one kid. Now, the average family in that you deal with is probably more than one or two kids, no?
Yeah, how about 10 or 12, yeah.
So 10 kids means that for every child, chasana, they need 10 years of spending nothing, living on mun. If they have 10 children, means they have 100 years, which is obviously beyond absurd. In fact, if you take the 10,000 and they're not making it through the month, they have this. So where are they coming up with this 200, 400, 600, 800, a million shekel?
Okay,
million
so
two?
A lot of people were given their diras to them from parents or in-laws or whatever. Or however, you know, diras used to be cheaper, their parents had money, however they got them. People who own their own diras are now taking out mashkantas on them to marry off their kids. So if they get lucky, they can take out private loans from family members, the gemachim that give them, you know, very, you know, interest-free, or they take out mashkantas with tremendous interest. And they have to pay it back every month. So they're running from gemach to gemach to pay one gemach to the next gemach to the mashkantas.
But my question is, if a guy has a dira and it's $500,000 or $500, he could take out one mashkanta of $350 to pay for one of his 10 kids. How does he do with the next 9 kids?
So there are people who sell their apartments and downsize. There are people in Bnei Brak.
Wait.
Not,
so if he sold his dira, he can now buy 2 kids' diras.
Right,
and not the best ones. These are only the 750 or the 800,000 boys, not the million. What does he do for the next 8 boys, kids?
It's believe me, there's no answers. I'm going to tell you right now, there are no answers b'derech hateva. There's a lot of nisim and iflos in Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to talk about average people now, not about the top brand names that I don't know what they do and how they get that money, honestly. It's usually Rosh Yeshivas who pay these fees and take these bachrim. I think they fundraise well or they have rich... I'll meet him. I don't know exactly. But I know when someone is telling me they have a lot of money, I know they're going to tell me they're a Rosh Yeshiva or Rosh Kollel afterwards. It's like guaranteed. It's like the joke in my house.
Why is that a joke? Explain the joke. I'm not getting it.
Because if someone's a doctor, a dentist, or a lawyer, they're not giving me that kind of money, only if they're Rosh Yeshivas and Rosh Kollel. So.
Where did they come up with it?
I said they must have rich Talmidim they fundraise from. I'm assuming they do good fundraising. Maybe to qualify as a good Rosh Hashiva, you need to be a good fundraiser, so you know how to fundraise for yourself. I don't know. That's what I'm assuming.
So you're assuming that when Rosh Hashiva comes and he says, I need X number of dollars for my yeshiva, part of it is going to buy...
I don't want
to
say
the,
that. That's being mostly shame around people.
Buffer. But it's a possibility. If that's who's marrying him, he's saying the million shekel dira for this boy, for this Mitsuyan million shekel boy, is coming from fundraising
from
these
Rosh Hashivas. Yeah. I'll tell you how the average shidduch is made, like the hamonam, like not the top or the bottom, because I've married off 2, and I have many friends and neighbors and family members who have married off kids. Usually what people are doing is they're coming up with around the 400,000 shekel, where they take out loans or mashkantas or whatever, and the kids take out large mashkantas. So... a lot of them are buying in way out places like Afula and Ofakim, where you can get an apartment for $600,000. So if the kids get $400,000, let's say $200,000 from each set of parents, or a little bit more from the girl, a little less from the boy, because usually girls have to pay more, then they can take out a small mortgage and live. And a lot of people are doing that. That's a more and more of a trend. People who want to live in the central part of the country are going to either take on bigger mashkantas or give a little more for that down payment. That's the hamonam.
Yep.
The top tier numbers are for top tier people. As I said, Rosh Yeshivas or millionaires.
Well, Mrs. Levitin, thank you very much for your time.
Sure. I hope I didn't scare you off from making Aliyah. All right.
I'll tell you a funny story. You know, by my wedding,
yeah,
my shver was Rosh Yeshivas, Chan Levracha, and my parents, my father, Zichron Levracha, was a Rav. And mm-hmm. they were both very wealthy, both my Sher and my father, but they didn't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They were wealthy in many other things, but money wasn't one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got married, we got married, and it was $30 a couple or $40 a couple, and I knew my parents didn't have the money.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know what? I'm having one table of friends of my Bachrim. Well, Matt, you're allowed to dance because I didn't want them to go into hock so that I should have a Lebedika wedding.
No.
And obviously they never bought me a deer or anything, and I ultimately went to work. But it's the whole language you're speaking, it's like a foreign language. It's like hearing Hindu. But thank you very much for your time.
Culture.
All the best.
Bye.
We have